You know, if I said that I titled this sermon "The Vision of Jesus," but I think I'm going to change the title to "A Teaching Moment," a teaching moment, because and Nicodemus gets a kind of a bum rap, I guess the word I'll use here, because people say it, he came sneaking into Jesus at night, because he didn't want his fellow Pharisees to see him. But I think not. I really do, because I think that Nicodemus was a very, very powerful man, very influential man. I don't think he cared what people talked about him or said about him. He was a wealthy man, and he was a very religious man. But he had an itch. You ever had an itch you couldn't scratch in your back here? That's right, you couldn't get to it. You'd get up back and scrub your back like that and get to it. He had an itch. That is, he had a question. He just had to get answered. He couldn't go to sleep. I really think the man couldn't go to sleep that night. He had to just go find out some answers. And it could have been the Holy Spirit that drove him there that night. But he came. And when he left that night, Nicodemus was a saved man. He was a religious man, as I said. We'll see this a little bit later on. Jesus, you know, he came to Jesus, and when he came, he didn't come just, you know, he said, "Master." He said, "I know that you are a great teacher." He recognized Jesus as being a great teacher because he had seen him. He'd been witness to a lot of things. And he also said there in the thing that, "I know that because of all the great miracles that you had done." But if we go back up there in chapter 2, he's not alone in seeing all the miracles. Chapter 2, verse 23, it says, "And when he was in Jerusalem in the Passover of the feast, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did." Many people believed. But then you drop down to verse 25, because this is a very important verse. It's not part of our scripture. I'm going to read it to you. "And need not that any should testify of man, for he kneweth what was in man." See, Jesus knew that they were there just for the miracles. Their heart was not for exactly the right place. They just came because of the miracles. And there's nothing wrong with that. If you had a sick child, or if you had a limp or something, wouldn't you go to Jesus if he was healing? I mean, we're not dumb. We're not crazy. I mean, the man's healing people. I'm going to go get healing too. But all that was just physical. And Jesus knew that. And sometimes I feel like he just kind of got frustrated with it. That's why they're coming to me just for healing. They're missing the whole point of why I'm here. I didn't come here. And this is what we're going to find out about Nicodemus. What he learned when he left that place was a great lesson for his life. And I think it would be a good lesson for us today, if you'll bear with me, as I share some things. First of all, the must of a new birth. The first thing he tells him is he has to be born again. I did some statistical things here. It says 70% of Americans claim to be born again. 70%. That's not good. I like to see it 100%. Claim to be. And even President Jimmy Carter and every president since has always expressed in the office of presidency that they've had some religious experiment. I mean, experience. I said experiment. Experience. And even the New Testament talks about this being born again. What it means is to be born from above. But the book of Titus uses the word regeneration. And a lot of people confuse this because a lot of people are looking for information, not regeneration. They want, and this is what Nicodemus was looking. He was looking for information, because he was a teacher, and he seen that Jesus was teaching, He might want to learn some of his thing, his tricks or whatever he had. So he was seeking information. But when he left there that night, he was regenerated. And that's what we need today, is to be regenerated. If you're born once, you're going to die twice. If you're born once, you're going to die twice. But if you're born twice, you're going to live forever. Why is it necessary? You know, why is it necessary? Well, first of all, it's the nature of humanity. You know, it's the nature of humanity. It's part of what we are as humans. Nicodemus must have thought that born again was not meant for him when Jesus said that. Why do you think he thought that? Well, one reason is because look what he had going for him. He was a rich man. He was a respectable person. I mean, when he walked by, the people would say to the children, look at Nicodemus, how he's dressed up, how he's a great leader. He's one of the best Pharisees. I mean, he was well respected. As I said, he was very religious. You know, does this apply to us today, that maybe we think we are somebody and we're really nobody? I'll tell you, I'm gonna read this twice because this is a very important statement. I think I wrote it down like I want it to come out. Nothing you have, do, or are changed what you are, a sinner in need of a Savior. I'm going to read it one more time now. I think I got it like I want it. Nothing you have, do, or are changed what you are, a sinner in need of a Savior. You know, what kind of place is this? In verse 3, he tells us, Jesus answered, very, very loud, saying to you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is a person, is a place that I've read somewhere that is prepared. It's a prepared place for prepared people. And one benefit that we get out of our new birth or our rebirth is that we get a ticket to that place. We get a place for God's, in God's nation. And it would be against our nature if we went there and we weren't saved. Think about it for a moment. You don't see birds swimming laps on the pool, do you? Why? It's against their nature. What's their nature? To fly. You don't see a cow dancing on Broadway, do you? No, it's not their nature. And the old famous one, you don't see pigs flying either. But why? Because it's against their nature. So it's against human nature to expect that you're going to go to heaven and not be born again. Also, Nicodemus, it must have really threw him for a got his mind confused him to start with, because he just said, you know, in verse 4, he said to him, how can this be, born a second time? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? I mean, he's kind of narrow-minded with blinders. He had one focus. And that was a bit, I know his mother said amen on that. Not going to be reborn again. Not a second time. So he had this one focus. He didn't have the focus that God wanted him to have at this time. Now, in my place where I'm at, okay. You know, as I said, it's got to be, how does Jesus Christ address his mysterious thing? You know, it's a mystery to him. You know, a lot of things are mysteries. How many of you know how electricity works? Can you explain it scientifically? I could go through it with you if you wanted to. I don't do it. Now, what do? You flip the light on. Flip the light off, right? Do you understand how a cow can eat grass? and produce milk. I don't know, but we learn that ice cream, don't we? Love that ice cream. Yeah, we love the ice cream. We don't need to understand all those mysteries. We just have to have faith, as we're going to see. We have to really have the faith. Another thing, too, is that he tried his best to explain this to him several different ways. One way was he tried to compare the physical birth, you know, to the spiritual birth. First of all, our physical birth brings us into this world, doesn't it? You weren't here unless you were born through a physical birth, unless you were born in a test tube. That hasn't happened yet, I don't think. But you still be born, right? But now, the spiritual birth, you're born into a spiritual life. You know, I spoke last time I was here, I believe I spoke of the Trinity of man. That we have a body, we have a soul, and we have a spirit. And when we were born, we've got that Adamic, I call it Adamic because it's part of Adam's nature because he sinned, nature in us. We're naturals, we're sinners. We're born naturally to sin. Even though when we are born physically, or that is by the water, we're born, we have a new start in life because we don't have a past when you're born. Start with, but then you, as you grow older, you start getting a past. You get things start happening to you. But when you're born again through the Holy Spirit, you don't have a past either. Your past is all gone. So there's a lot of similarities between being born in the water, and that's what he said, that it cannot be born unless you're born by both water in verse 5 and in the Spirit. You got to have both of those births. Now, another thing I was saying a moment ago about the nature and so forth, I tell you, unless you are born again, you're not going to like heaven. Because heaven is nothing like the nature we have here on earth, what I'm saying is. If you don't like singing, don't go to heaven. If you don't like praising God, don't go to heaven. In other words, if you go to heaven as you are right now, if you're not saved, if you've not been born again, that's what he's telling Nicodemus. If you've not been born again, Nicodemus, you're not going to want to be in heaven because you're going to be miserable because that's all they're going to do is sing and praise God all the time. You're not going to be going here and going there and doing these different things, playing ball, doing all the things you're doing. And that's just for a little while, if you think about it. All that I've done in my life, I look back at this week and thought about it a lot. All the things I've done, sometimes I've had the opportunity to do things for God, but I put my desires first. But that's not going to happen in heaven because there's not going to be anything else but just praising God. Not going to be any work. We talk about heartaches and no pain, no sorrow as a great place. But it's going to be a place of praising God. And if we are, as I said, continually not born of a new birth, then we are going to be miserable in heaven. Now, Jesus says something else here too. What is the responsibility of Jesus? Jesus' responsibility is His responsibility was, I shouldn't say is, it was, to come down from heaven. As Vicki said, he gave up a lot. Think about what he gave up. He gave up his position in heaven. He gave up no pain. Where he was at was a wonderful place. But he gave it all. He made a very serious commitment to come down. And who did he do it for? He did it for you and for me. Because the Bible clearly says that we're all sinners. And the only way we can change that is to do our part. And what is our part? If you Look, well, let me go back to the scripture. I'll get off my outline here. Here's how he explained it to Nicodemus. He says this. He says, I've got to come down on earth. And Nicodemus knew the history of the people, his people. And he knew that when they were in the desert, they were wandering around. They were mean and evil. And so God sent this snake down at the bottom. And they died. And they went to Moses. They said, Moses, we're dying. This snake, this evil. It was really a metaphor for the devil, I think. Really was. That snake would, and they may have died a physical death. They also died a spiritual death. But they were dying. They said, Moses, what's going on here? And he went to God, and God said, make a snake or make a serpent and put it on a pole. And tell them if they look at that snake, that serpent, they'll live. Now let me think. Well, that sounds simple to me. But what bit them was a snake, right? So they said, I'm going to look at a snake, and I'm going to live. But it wasn't the snake itself. It was that looking. You see, if they never gaze up, they died. I wonder how many people didn't want to look at it. So I'm not going to look at that snake. That snake made me sick. It bit me. I'm not going to look at it. And walked around all the time like that, sick and dying. All I had to do is look up at the snake. What did Jesus say? He says, no man has ascended up to heaven, but he came down to earth, from earth, and even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. He's telling him, I'm going to be lifted up on a cross just like that serpent. And he says this, that whosoever, this is your part and my part, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. You know, I got all these notes, so I'm not going to go by the notes. Spirit's talking to me. Okay. I've witnessed in the last several days a lot of hurt. A lot of people hurting. And I've also seen a lot of people find comfort. They found comfort in their Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And it just amazes me how God works. It's one of those mysteries that I said a while ago that I don't need to try to figure it out. I don't need to put some kind of formula on it, Don, or kind of theorize it or whatever, come up with a theory. I just need to believe it and accept it. But you know what is so hard to accept? And I said it this morning in Sunday school. We were studying in Sunday school, and a little boy named BJ was making a to-do list, and his grandmother said, what you got there, son? And he had made a long list. He said, these are things I got to do for God. He was making a list of things he's got to do for God in order for God to be happy with him, for God to be pleased with him. But you know what? It's so makes me feel so elated, or just swells me up, I guess you could say that's the word I want to use, is that I don't have to do anything. His grandmother told him that. You ain't got to do nothing. God's done it all. Jesus has done it all. The only thing you've got to do is to believe. This is the love that he says in a famous verse that we all, this scripture, that included this. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. He didn't send him into the world to condemn the world. He sent Jesus to save the world. They told Jesus, said, you come here to destroy the law. He said, no, I haven't done that at all. I've not come to even move one little mark of the law. It's all going to stay there. I came to save the world because it needed a Savior. I'm a sinner, as I said, go back to the very beginning. No matter what we do, no matter what we say, no matter what we have, it's not going to change who we are. We're still a sinner. What you can be, though, is a sinner saved by grace. I asked Wanda to come and play. I asked her to play there a little bit. I want you to think about this for a moment. She plays this softly before we have our closing hymn here. This invitation is not there forever. There was a Greek historian, Herodotus. I think I've been pronounced his name right. I hope I did. He said this: when you die, you go into another animal. And when that animal dies, you go into another one. And you keep going into another animal until you've been in all the animals in the world. And then you're reborn. Estimation time for that, 3,000 years. 3,000 years. But I'm going to tell you, you do not have to wait 3,000 years to be born again. You can be born right now. All you got to do is just accept it. When we sing our invitation hymn, the altar will be open if you want to come up here. If you've already accepted God, just come up and thank Him. Praise Him. I don't know where everybody's at today, but you should be here praising God and thanking God for what they have. Nicodemus left that thing that night a changed man. How do we know that? He stood in Sanhedrin court one day, and they were just talking bad about Jesus. He said, no, we got to give Him credit. We got to bring Him in here and let Him tell His story. Jesus was crucified, died, and was on the cross. And somebody had to take Him down, get His body. Nicodemus went with Arimathea to get Him down. Nicodemus never left Jesus' sight. Let us stand now and turn our hymn books to hymn number 348, Softly and Tenderly. Mm-hmm.